This past weekend, I was ministering in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada. I ministered on a Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And it was interesting in that the messages must really have made the devil mad because a couple of people, they started battling sickness right during the conference. Well, if you want to call it a conference, but there are a couple of people up there that one lady, I mean, I guess she just barely made it home. But anyway, they got healed before everything was said and done, before we were finished. But then Friday night, when the service was over, I had a first. I mean, a first. Somebody came up to me after the service and said, the Lord told me to come here. I said, really? And began explaining how that, you know, drove by, and I just sensed the presence of God all over this building, this church. And it was just interesting because at the time they drove by, somebody was in the church worshiping, just walking through the sanctuary worshiping. And the person said, you know, I just kept driving, but, you know, the Lord prompted me, turn around and go back. So I turned around, went back, and sensed his presence again. And so the Lord told me to come here. And the Lord told me to come here and tell you how you're missing it. I'm serious. And so, you know, if that person didn't have my attention beforehand, they really had it now. So I really did want to hear what they have to say because I know that God can send a prophet to speak to somebody or somebody with a prophetic word. It doesn't have to be a prophet. And, you know, I wanted to hear what the person had to say because if they were right, I needed to know. And so, okay, well, you know, so I'm listening, and then the person began explaining, began telling me where I was missing it. And I'm thinking, there ain't no way. I looked, and I said, this is the first service. And the person kept talking, and I said, this is the first service. There are more to come. And the person kept talking, and finally, I got a little firm. I said, this is the first service. Then, I don't mean to offend, but every single thing that person said was absolutely wrong, totally wrong. And the person was, and I'm not going to get into all of it, but you know, you're teaching people that such and such. I have no idea what that person heard in the sermon that they interpreted as being what they said. But there was no way. Thing is, what I did not do. Well, I didn't do it because the person kind of started talking about it. But when that person walked up to me, immediately I knew this person has been wounded in the past and has been really hurt and is still wounded and carrying that around. And so now this person has opened themselves up to strong imaginations and maybe even the voice of lying devils. So anyway, that person had a friend, and the friend came up to me and I guess was trying to correct doctrine or something. It was kind of weird. They came back Saturday morning, and they didn't come back anymore. So anyway, that was a first. I never had anybody come up to me and do that. I hope that's the last. Because, you know, when people do things like that, you know, just try and correct them. Just try and tell them that they're the ones that missed it, and it won't go over too well. But nevertheless, in spite of that and everything, you know, the people battling sickness, what I taught on, if you have not listened to those sermons, they are uploaded to the website. If you have not listened to them, I encourage you to download them and listen to them. The Lord had me teach. I thought that it was going to be a single sermon that I would preach here. But he started just giving me more and more, and had to do with faith. Well, it turned into every service just built upon the previous. And there are some things that I taught that I had never before taught in my life concerning faith. Some things that even the Lord revealed to me during a morning service while I'm teaching that I taught in an evening service. Now, I really, really encourage you, if I were your boss, I would say your paycheck depends on this. Now, I'm serious. But I'm not your boss, and you ain't getting a paycheck. So I'm just going to say I really, really encourage you to listen to those sermons, because in those sermons I share some things that absolutely, I mean, they changed my life. And it's rare that sermons that I preach impact me this much, but they really made a difference. And I mean, I thought it was kind of done, but it's not. He's wanting me to go even a little bit further here tonight. You say, well, yeah, but you're not in St. Thomas. I know, but they're watching. And so those of you in St. Thomas, this is a continuation of what we were covering. Now, bear with me a little bit, guys, because I'm going to have to do a little bit of review, but not a whole lot. In fact, go ahead and turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, every sermon that I preached up there had the word faith in the title. This message tonight also has the word faith in the title. So when you go to the website, the audio teachings, and then you click on 2017, just scroll down till you find, you know, the words faith. There'll be sermons in March of 2017, and you'll see them. Each sermon has the word faith in it. Now, I'm really depending upon the Lord to help guide this as we go here tonight, because my tendency, or my drawing, I guess is a better way to put it, my drawing is to just really get into everything I covered up there, but that can't happen. So you need to listen to those messages about faith. One of the things I do, just kind of summarize, I guess the grand total, is I reveal how critical faith is beyond what most faith teachers have taught us over the years. And I'm not trying to be mean to them. I'm just saying they've left a bunch out, and a whole lot of stuff has been mistaught. So anyway, in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Well, we know we're the just because we've been justified by Jesus Christ. Our faith in Him to be born again took us to this place of being justified. Then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight," or we live. And that word walk, it literally implies we make progress in our Christian life. We go forward in our Christian life by faith. Walking is not a static thing. Walking is a progress, a going forward thing. So we go forward in our relationship with God. We go forward in our life with God by faith, not by sight. By faith. Okay, now what that means is, if we do not have our faith developed, it will be impossible, impossible to make progress in our Christian life the way that God wants us to. Now, please let that sink in. It will be impossible. Now, somebody might say, well, now, Brother Martin, impossible is a pretty strong word, but what's it say right here? We walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. So therefore, if I'm going to make progress in my relationship with God, faith has to be involved. Now, in this, what I shared up there was what I called faith's formula. Faith's formula. Now, real briefly, faith's formula, you know how in school they give you a formula to come up with a conclusion, and you know, math, right? All right, faith's formula is this: Galatians 2:20 plus Romans 10:17 plus Jude 1:20 and 21 plus Romans 5:5 plus Galatians 5:6 equals operational faith. That's it. This is it. Now, there's a whole lot of subcategories. Not going to get into that tonight, but Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Not the faith in the Son of God. If your Bible says faith in the Son of God, you have a Bible you should never read again. Because in the Greek, it says the faith of the Son of God. Now, I'm not going to get into what that means. Get the other sermons prior to this and listen to them. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Jude 1, 20 and 21, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God." Romans 5, 5, "That the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost." And Galatians 5, 6, "Faith worketh by love." All of those together, added together, you can't leave any of them out. They make up the formula for operational faith. However, I also explained how we take operational faith. Operational faith is potential. Operational faith is not active faith. And so what I taught was how we take operational faith and turn it into operating faith. Faith that is not merely potential, but it is faith that is in operation in our lives. And the question would come up, you know, well, why so much about faith? You know, what's the big deal about faith? All right, let's think for a moment. When, and I can't speak for you, I'm only sharing from my perspective. The emphasis in what you might call spirit-filled circles or charismatic churches or however you want to define it, the emphasis so much is on power, is it not? Now, I'm not diminishing or taking away from power, because Jesus said in Luke 24, 49, he said, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem till ye be endued with power." He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So in no way am I diminishing or taking away from the need for power. We need it. If we didn't need it, then He, God, would have sent the Holy Spirit for us to be endued with power. All right? So I want to be sure nobody thinks that I am trying to diminish the need for power in the life of a Christian. Call it the anointing. Call it, you know, however you want to define it. However, if you go back and you start reading in Scripture, and I'm just going to reference these, we're not going to look them up, but in Matthew 6, 24 through 30, Matthew 8, 23 through 26, Matthew 14, 22 through 31, Matthew 16, 5 through 8, Mark 6, 1 through 6, Matthew 17, 20, Mark 9, 23, John 14, 12, and these are all just a few of the examples where Jesus says something about, "O ye of little faith." See, you knew exactly what the next word. "O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith." I mean, over and over again, he identifies faith. He didn't say, "O ye of little power." He didn't say, "O ye of little anointing." "O ye of little faith." And in another place, it talks about that Jesus marveled at their unbelief, not their lack of power or lack of anointing, marveled at their unbelief. Jesus said, "If you believe in me, the works that I do, you shall do also." Again, belief or faith is involved in that. Over in, and again, this is just a brief summary, and there are a lot of other verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where Jesus is speaking of faith / belief as opposed to power. And then you get over into Hebrews chapter 11. We don't have to turn to it. You can read it. But Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 39. "By faith this person, by faith that person, by faith this person, through faith the other person." On and on and on it went. The emphasis was on faith, not power. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, not by the power of God. All things are upheld by the power of His Word, the Word of His power, the Word of His power. So there's a direct connection between Word and power. However, Romans 10, 17 tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. In Luke chapter, in fact, I want you to see this one. Turn over to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And in verse, well, let's just back up to verse 1. "And he," Jesus, "spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now look at this. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? See that? Now, something that you need to notice here, Jesus was talking to them, was he not? Which means he was already there, was he not? That's not a trick question. I'm pointing out the obvious. But then he says, when the Son of Man cometh. Well, but you're already here, Jesus. That's right. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about when I come back. When I return, will I find faith on the earth? Not up in heaven, on the earth. Will I find, he doesn't say, will I find power? Will I find anointing? Will I find the Shekinah glory cloud of God? No, he says, will I find faith? Now, when we think about this, repeatedly, over and over and over again, Jesus is the one making the emphasis on faith, is he not? He's not, again, another place he talks about power and so forth. So again, not diminishing that, but Jesus is the one who is emphasizing what? Faith. He's emphasizing faith. The just shall live by faith, not by power, not by anointing. We walk by faith, not by power, not by anointing. Now, again, for the sake of repetition, at the sake of repetition, and the fact that I know how many people are, they hear a sermon, they only listen with half of one ear, and then they walk away and say, well, he said such and such. Again, I am not preaching against anointing and power. I'm not doing that. What I'm doing, you know why I have to keep repeating this? It's because some people would twist what I'm saying. Now, why would they twist what I'm saying? It's because for so long, the emphasis has been misdirected. We've been pointed toward anointing and power more than faith. We want the power. I stand in line. You know, pray for me, preacher, that I would have an impartation of an anointing and power. For one, you can't do that, for one thing. And yet a lot of Christians will do it, repeatedly do it. You know, stand in the prayer, the power lines and all this other. No. What we're supposed to be pressing after is faith. Now, I want you to think with me. In the Old Testament, what did people live by? Power or faith? Well, they lived by faith. Noah, by faith. Abraham, by faith. In fact, Noah lived by faith, and he's the one, and his boys, they had to be the ones to build that ark. You know, he didn't stand there and, you know, wave his hands and power come out of his hands, and then the ark start assembling. What I'm getting at is, the emphasis in the Word of God is on faith, not power and anointing. Now, if we get this turned around and we focus on the faith more than the power and the anointing, guess what's going to show up? The power and the anointing. So when we get the cart before the horse, when we get the power before the faith, we're hoping that God is going to circumvent His Word and give us a continual flow of power. Look what happened in the Corinthian church. The gifts of the Spirit showed up, but none of them were being used in the John 14:12 anointing of Christ. Do you understand what I mean by that? Jesus didn't operate by the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus operated by the anointing and power of God. But he first operated by the Word of God. Now, this can be so confusing to a lot of Christians only because we've been pushed toward power and not toward faith. And so much of the faith we've heard taught has been about money and stuff. When in reality, faith is not about increase. Faith is about living every day as Christ in this world. Therein lies the difference. And that's what so many have not been taught. I don't need faith, I need power. Now, I don't think you get it. You need faith to walk in the power. And so in Corinth, the gifts of the Spirit were in operation, but Paul clarified it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, look, now I'm paraphrasing. He's saying, you know, you guys, you think that because God used you to pray for somebody and that person got healed, that now you're, you know, the grand poobah of Christianity. He goes, no, go over there and try it again. You can't. And the reason is because the gifts of the Spirit are administered by the Holy Spirit for a given point in time through a given individual as the Spirit wills. So you, that's not an anointing, that is the gift of the Spirit. And therein lies a huge difference. Because when you focus on the church of Corinth, and you think, well, I want 1 Corinthians 12. Well, praise God, that's wonderful. I want the gifts to operate too. But beyond the gifts, I want to be at that place of faith. Jesus made the statement, nothing shall be impossible to him that believes. Nothing's impossible to him that believes. He did not say nothing's impossible to him that has enough anointing and power. He didn't say that. He said nothing's impossible to him that believes. Well, that's kind of interesting, because if nothing is impossible to him that believes, then if I focus on my believing, my faith becomes a conduit for the power to bring about what needs to be brought about. Are you understanding this? It's extremely critical. So you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Okay, there's no other way. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You'll hear Christians testify all the time about how bad stuff and hardship caused faith to come. No, it didn't. No, it did not. Hard times, troubles, sickness, whatever, those are opportunities to use faith. But faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's it. And then you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're not building yourself up on your most holy anointing or your most holy power. You're building yourself up on your most holy faith, because the just shall live by faith, and we walk by faith, not by sight. So therefore, when I am praying in the Spirit and I'm getting into the Word, my focus needs to be on faith's coming. Every time I open my Bible and start reading, faith is coming. I got, you know, 5 verses of faith today, or I got, you know, 10 chapters of faith today. I'm using that to illustrate. And as I pray in the Spirit, then I'm building myself on my most holy faith, the faith that has come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We have to redirect our focus on this to begin to see things happen. This explains why it is that some Christians, I mean, since the time you could become a Christian, this explains why some Christians who have never been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues have prayed for people and the people have gotten healed. It's because they had faith that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. They had faith that it would work. And so they pray. That messed me up for so long. I'm thinking, well, you know, how'd they do that back then? You know, this bunch over here didn't even believe in the gifts of the Spirit, didn't believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost, didn't believe in speaking in tongues, and yet they prayed for people and folks got healed. Something's not right. What's the deal here? Well, it was in front of me the whole time. Faith is the key. Faith. Let me say it like this, and please don't anybody throw anything at me, okay? Faith is more important than being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, bless God, Brother Martin, you better repent of that one real quick, like, because you got yourself a conference coming up real soon. Now, wait a second. The just shall walk by faith, not the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We walk by faith, not by tongues. It doesn't say we walk by tongues. So am I diminishing the need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Absolutely not. Am I diminishing the need to pray in tongues? Absolutely not. Don't twist this around. What I'm trying to do is get us lined up with what God sees to be the most critical aspect of living for Him here on earth. Do I need to pray in tongues? You better believe I do. There are too many verses in the New Testament that explain why I need to pray in tongues. However, the focus, what we're pushing toward, is what you would call the faith walk or the faith life. Not to see how much money I can get, not to see how big of a house I can believe in, not to, you know, believe in a husband or a wife. I get so, how can I say this nicely? Well, let's just say I find it rather interesting the number of Christians who have talked to me over the years about how can I believe in a wife? How can I believe in a husband? You know what? Right now you don't need a wife and you don't need a husband because you've got your whole perspective. Everything's all twisted upside down. No, you need to refocus. You need to refocus. Everybody waiting for a husband and wife said, well, thank you, Brother Martin. Now I know I'm mad that you ain't coming back here no more. All righty. Look over in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And again, if you'll take the time to get into or go back and listen to all of the sermons that I preached up there at St. Thomas, and I'll just, the titles of those sermons are Exposing Errors in Faith's Teaching. That was Friday night. Saturday morning was Breaking Down Faith's Formula. Saturday evening, Faith's Critical Confession. Sunday morning, Faith's Critical Key. Sunday evening, Faith, Power, and Prophecy. You need to listen to those. You absolutely need to listen. Your paycheck depends on it. You absolutely need to listen to those. Now, Mark chapter 4. Look here in verse 13. Jesus, he'd already given the parable about, you know, the seed and the birds and everything else. And he says, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Then in verse 14, look at what he says. The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Okay, now, let's think about this. The sower soweth the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. So here we see the sower soweth the word. Then we see a bunch of stuff happening and so forth, but I want you to look down at verse 20. And these are they which are so, now, sometimes it's a little King Jamesy in some of this. So I'm going to read verse 20 and then read it to you again a little bit differently. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Okay, now this same story, the same explanation and teaching is recorded in Matthew 13, 18 through 23, and Luke 8, 11 through 15. Now, in all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you have what is recorded here in the verse 20. Now, what I'm going to do to you is read verse 20 I've combined Matthew 13, 23, Mark 20, Mark 4, 20, and Luke 8:15 into one verse. And so he says, you know, first of all, the sower soweth the word, verses 15 through 19, all this stuff is happening. Then verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word in an honest and good heart, receive it, understandeth it, keep it, and with patience bringeth and beareth forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. By reading all three versions of this, you get a more complete picture of what's necessary to bring forth the fruit. And so I need to be good ground. I need to hear it, the word. I need to have an honest and good heart. Another way to say that would be a teachable heart. I need to receive it, understand it, keep it, and then be patient for the fruit to come forth. Now, when the sower is sowing the word, what's going on? Well, the sower is sowing the word. I understand that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. The sower sows the word. Now look here in verse 15. At the end of verse 15, it tells us where the word was sown. Where was it sown? It was sown in their hearts. Verses 16, well, it tells us Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verses 16 through 19 are diversions and distractions for the purpose of redirecting our attention away from the word and onto something else. Why is that? Because if our attention can be redirected away from the word, then we can't walk by faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You see this? These are distractions. That's all these are. You know, bad things happen to Christians, and oh my goodness, they think that, you know, they're public enemy number one to the devil. Oh, why the devil just coming after me? Well, I don't know why he hates me so much. And well, I just must be something special because the devil's really coming after you. Well, okay, you are something special. Jesus died for you. But you're not as special to the devil as what you might think. See, here's the thing. Jesus said to Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What did he do at that moment? He revealed to Satan that kingdom life is based upon living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Therefore, if Satan can do something to distract us away from the word, guess what won't happen? Faith will not come, and we will not be living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Therefore, we cannot walk by faith. We'll be walking by sight, and we will not be living by faith. Oh, we'll still be born again. But are you seeing this? Look here in verse... let me run through this again real quickly. You know, in Matthew 4:4, we're supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Every word. Okay, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We're supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Guess what we can't do if we don't get into the word? Can't live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. You know, the person that came to me and said that I'm missing it, one of the things that person said was that Jesus is speaking to us, and that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, and that now, today, we're supposed to live more by what we hear instead of by the Bible. And then the person tried to qualify that by saying, but, you know, the Holy Spirit would never say anything that disagrees with the Bible. And I just stood there listening, and you say, well, why didn't you say something? Because I wasn't in the mood to get into it. I just was not in the mood. And besides, if the Lord had impressed upon me, you know, just tell this person, I would have. This is the word of God, and all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for everything we need, and we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Therefore, if you buy into that stuff, well, we need to live more by what we hear instead of by the Bible. Hey, you are setting yourself up for deception. Don't come crying to me when your life falls apart, because I done warned you. You can't lay the Bible aside. Now, I'm not trying to be mean to that person, because remember, that person was deeply wounded. and was still carrying those wounds, and that has impacted that person's perception and comprehension of the Word of God. And along the way, that person has developed some interesting doctrine. Well, anyway, here we see that we're supposed to live by faith, supposed to walk by faith, and in Mark, we're told that so we're supposed to sow the Word, and the Word is sown in our hearts. But now look down here in verse 19. The cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, doing what? Entering in. See that? Entering in. Okay, what's happened? Think of the order here. Number one, the Word has been sown. Correct? We just saw it. Sower sows the Word. Where it has it been sown? Been sown in my heart. The Word has been sown. Then what happens? Well, Satan comes immediately to take away the Word that was sown in their hearts. Well, he can't reach inside you and take it away. He doesn't have a spiritual eraser that he can just, you know, rub it out. He can't do that. The only thing that he can try to do is bring about circumstances as a diversionary tactic. Now, here's what I found interesting. I stand up on Friday night and I teach the first part of 5 sermons, which has now become 6. I teach, and immediately when the service is over, 2 people are attacked with sickness and 2 people come to politely correct what I'm teaching. Now, I admit I can miss it, okay? I'm not infallible. But what they said, I did not miss it. I mean, there is no way that I was off base in what they said. But immediately Satan came. Now, I'll tell you, when that person was talking to me, I went back home or back to our room that night, and that stuff troubled me, and it had me kind of upset. Because one of the things the person said was, you know, well, what you're teaching, you know, you're teaching that Jesus is up on the throne, and that we're down here and we're separated from him. It's like, well, the Bible does say that he ascended up on high, does it not? And it does say he's coming back. Well, you can't come back from some place where you're not. I didn't say that. And this person said, you know, you're separating us from Jesus, but he's here all the time. Well, I'm listening. Now, I'm not repeating everything, but I'm saying enough so that you can recognize there are elements of truth in what this person was saying. But he's with us all the time. Then the person said, what you didn't know was that the whole time that you were up there speaking, Jesus was right behind you whispering in your ear what you were supposed to say. And so I'm thinking about that when I'm laying there in the bed and I'm thinking about this, and all of a sudden it just hit me. I said, wait a second. If he's standing up there whispering in my ear what I'm supposed to say, then why in the world did he tell me to say something that was wrong? Go figure. Now, immediately Satan came to steal the Word and to disrupt or distract me from what I was going to be teaching the rest of that week. He wanted that to be a weight on me. And I will admit, I kind of struggled with it because that was the first time that had ever happened. I mean, people have, you know, not been nice to me in the past, but I never had it where somebody walked up after the service, really nice, really polite, very sweet, and said, the Lord sent me here to tell you how you missed it. So what? Satan comes immediately with diversionary tactics to get you away from the Word that was sown. And the diversionary tactics, all these things that are described here, all of it, verses, you know, 16 through 19, the things themselves aren't entering in. What's entering in are the thoughts and the imaginations associated with those things. And we begin to think on those things more than we begin to keep the Word, meditate on the Word, focus on the Word. And when we do that, the Word gets pushed aside. And those things become the dominant thoughts in our lives. You can't live by faith when you're living by worry. You can't live by faith when you're living by a weight. And we're supposed to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I fought that battle, and I won it, praise God. And I'm praying, you know, God, if there's anything in what she said that's true, you know, please let me know. And but there was nothing. It was true. And I knew it, but I wanted to give God the chance. You know what I'm saying? You know, just in case. But I beat that thing because I'm focusing on the Word as the answer to what I was accused of doing. And I knew that I wasn't wrong. I absolutely knew that I was not wrong. Well, Satan works... Every single one of you in here, you have been a victim of what I'm talking about. Every one of you. There is no excuse. Every single one of us, the word's been sown, and then immediately that night, the next day, something has happened to try to distract us away from the word. Something has happened. There have been times where I've preached, and when the sermon is over, somebody approaches me and begins bemoaning the circumstances of their life that I just answered in the sermon. And I want to scratch my head and think, what were you doing during the sermon? I know they were thinking about the circumstances in life. Now, they were in the room, and physically speaking, their auditory senses heard what I was saying. They heard the word that was sown. But their attention and focus was on the other things entering in. And it was a distraction from the word that could have worked in them. Look, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So when you focus on the word that's being sown, faith is coming, whether you feel it or not. And you're not going to feel it. Faith is coming. Because when God says in His Word, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, that means it comes when you hear the Word and your feelings and your emotions are totally irrelevant. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. This is why when you sit down and you begin to read, I heard one person talk about how, well, it has to be audible or it doesn't work. It's like, okay, audible helps. Trust me, audible helps. I'm not diminishing that. But yet, when you read this, let me say it like that. Your spirit's hearing it. You're sowing it into your heart, okay? So you're hearing it. When you get into the Word, you read five verses of faith have come. Now and I'm saying this to try to make it very simple to comprehend. The more we put in, read the same five verses over and over and over, and more faith is coming out of those same verses. You can take one verse, read it every day, and faith is coming. Now, you're never going to really successfully live by faith because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for faith, for one thing. And so, faith comes every time we get into the Word. And every time that we pray in the Spirit, we are building ourselves up on our most holy faith. And then it's just a matter of sitting back and waiting. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, first off, listen to all the other sermons that I preached. But what I mean by sitting back and waiting, it's this. The more faith comes, the more it begins developed on the inside of us. And let me try to present it this way. Right now, my flesh, now this is not an admission, okay? This is just an example, okay? Right now, my flesh is the most dominant thing in my life. I didn't say sin, okay? My flesh, the way I think about life, the way I think about problems, the way I think about, you know, sickness and affliction, the way I think about just stuff of the world. My flesh is the most dominant thing in my life. But I am born again. And so the seed of faith, if you will, the faith that Jesus authored in me at the moment of salvation, okay, that's there. But it's being dominated by the flesh and the way that I approach things with a flesh mindset, if you will. All right, now, the moment that I start getting into the word, faith is coming. It's coming. It can't not come. That's the thing. God said, when my word goes forth from my mouth, it won't return void. It will accomplish what I send it forth. And if God says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, then when I start putting the word in me and sowing the word in me, faith is coming whether I want to believe it or not. Faith is coming whether I feel it or not. Faith is coming regardless of what I think. Faith is coming. And so, faith is coming, faith is coming, faith is coming. And as I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm building myself up on my most holy faith. Okay, faith is being developed. It is a process. It is not an overnight. It is a process. And so faith is coming, faith is coming. And the more faith comes, is the more that I begin to realize, hey, my flesh has been controlling me in the area of, you know, how I approach finances, how I approach healing, how, you know, fill in the blank for whatever it is. And I begin to see problems that I never really identified before. Well, I keep sowing the word, keep sowing the word, and my faith is developed more and more and more. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, building myself up on my most holy faith, and what's going to happen is this. Pretty soon, remember in Hebrews 4:12, it says that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit. Okay, here's what's happening. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the sharper than a two-edged sword Word of God that is dividing between soul and spirit. And the Word, if you will, for illustration's purpose, is cutting away the flesh, the soul that was controlling so much of my life, and faith is beginning to dominate everything about how I live every day of my life. And it's not about my emotions. Listen, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, yeah, Jesus had emotions, and those emotions are revealed in Scripture. However, Jesus did not live by emotions. He lived by every word that proceeded forth out of the mouth of God. He lived by faith. When the blind man, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, bring him to me. And they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus knew the guy was blind. But he looks at him and he says, what would you like? And the guy said, well, I'd like to have my vision back. And Jesus said, okay, receive your sight. And boom, the guy received his sight. It's not like Jesus got worked up over it. It's not like Jesus started to sweat bullets wondering if it was going to happen. Jesus was walking by faith, by the power of the Word of God. Remember what it was that created this universe? It was the Word of Almighty God. Now, if the Word of God can create a universe, it can sure restore sight to the blind eyes. And so Jesus had absolutely no concern whatsoever as to whether or not this was going to work. He just said, okay, receive your sight. A centurion comes to him and he says, well, yeah, I got a servant back home and he's about to die. And Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. Jesus didn't say, I'll come and pray for him. He said, I'll come and I'll heal him. Why is that? Because Jesus knew who he was and he knew what he could do because he knew the Word, he was the Word, and was operating by the Word. And the man says, no, you don't have to come. Just say the what? Word. Just say the Word and he'll be healed. And Jesus said, boy, that's pretty impressive. I've never seen that kind of faith. And so he says, your servant's healed. Okay? Now that's not exactly how it went. But the guy goes home, the servant is healed. The lady comes to Jesus and Jesus is trying to eat a meal. And the lady says, well, my daughter's really sick and she's going to die. You know, would you please come and minister to her? You know, and Jesus said, you know, you're not supposed to be giving the bread to the dogs. And the lady said, yeah, well, even the dogs eat the crumbs off the table. And Jesus said, whoa, I've never encountered that kind of faith today. He says, all right, you know what? You go home. Your daughter's healed. That's the kind of confidence that we can have when our faith is developed. Jesus said, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you shall do also. It's not simply a matter about anointing and power. I agree with all of that. I'm not disputing it. But what I'm saying is we haven't focused enough on developing our faith so that the anointing and the power have something to work through. So that the anointing and the power has a conduit to flow through to minister to other people. I don't know about you. But to me, this is a great relief. You say, well, how in the world is it a great relief? Here's why. Because when you sit around scratching your head trying to figure out how come power manifested over there and not here with me, you know how you all do it. You know how we do it. How come they had power? How come this had? Faith. Faith is the key. Faith is the key. I'm not saying we stop desiring power. I'm not saying we stop seeking for anointing. I'm not saying that at all. We continue to seek for that, but we prioritize in a correct order, And the correct order is press into the faith. Press into the faith, and the power and the anointing will begin to come, especially when you sow the word, but then add in praying in the Holy Ghost to build yourself up on the most holy faith. I'm telling you right now, this is the answer to why a lot of Christians have struggled so much in life. But I am filled with the Holy Ghost. And I do pray in tongues. Well, praise God. But what's your faith life? I mean, where's the faith? Well, I do have faith. Well, I'm not saying you don't, but is that what you're focusing on? And see, now I can sit down and I can begin to sow the word in me, and I know faith is coming. I know it is, because God said so. I know faith is coming. I can start playing, you know, a recording of the Bible. Just listen to the Bible being read. And faith is coming. It doesn't have a choice. Faith has to come. Let me say it like this. Faith has to be obedient to the Word. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Faith can't say, but I don't want to go into them. They're weird. Faith doesn't have a say-so in the matter. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Faith is looking to fill people. And it gets to the place to where you begin having a confidence in your life. Because when faith is developed, and I don't mean 100% level faith, I mean in the process of being developed, you start having a greater confidence in your day-to-day life than you ever had before. You wake up with a confidence that regardless of what happens, things will work out for you. Yeah, well, Brother Martin, what if I get fired? Things will work out for you. Well, what if somebody steals my car? Things will work out for you. See, the kind of faith that I'm talking about, it does not know defeat. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and there is no defeat for a child of God in the Word of God. So if somebody steals, this is why Jesus, remember when he said, hey, if somebody, you know, takes your cloak, you know, give them the coat too. And you might be thinking, well, for crying out loud, why would I want to do a thing like that? That's stupid. I mean, I got to have something to wear. Faith says, you know what? I can do that because my Father loves me, and some way, somehow, I will be provided for. See this? This is not a pipe dream. This is not some, you know, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, pump them up, and, you know, then receive a big offering. Hey, that goes on. No, what I'm trying to deliver to you tonight is a practical faith message that helps us understand, you know, where we've missed it over the years. Maybe not you, but so many Christians and preachers, but how that this whole thing of sowing the word and the stuff that Satan does afterward, it is a distraction, a diversionary tactic to get our attention away from the Word and onto stuff that cannot do us any good whatsoever. When you're walking at the kind of faith that can be developed, you don't sit around and worry about what I'm going to do. You know what you're going to do. Remember when the thousands were there with Jesus? And the apostles came to him and they said, well, Jesus, you better send everybody home. You know, so, you know, getting late. You know, service is over. They need to eat. And Jesus said, no, it's too late. You know, some of them, they'd probably pass out on the way home. You guys feed them. And they said, what? How are we going to do that? We don't have enough money to go buy food. I mean, what are you talking about, Jesus? And Jesus said, well, what do you have? Now, when you go back and read that story, it says he knew what he was going to do. He already knew. He wasn't worried about how we're going to feed the whole God. You sent me here and now people are hungry. No. He said, what do you have? Well, we got a few loaves, a few fish. He said, all right. What did he do? He blessed them. I don't know what he said. That's going to be one of my questions when we get to heaven. What exactly did you say? You blessed them. He blessed them. And then he gave to the apostles They're the ones that began to feed. We talk about Jesus feeding the thousands. Actually, all he did was say the word and bless the food, and the apostles partook of the miracle and began distributing to the people. And then it had a whole bunch left over. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? I hope that I am encouraging you to begin redirecting the focus, not away from power and anointing, but more on the development of faith, because all things are possible to him that believes. Praise God. The distractions will come, but faith looks beyond the distractions and knows, I win all the time, no matter what it looks like. Praise God. And for the 4011th time, I really encourage you to get those sermons and listen to those.